sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends in Christ, did you hear that? They just laid Jesus in the tomb. That means it's finished. Just as he said, it's finished. Christ gave up his spirit, commending himself to God, commending himself to himself if we're Trinitarians. This happened, the scripture says, at 3 p.m. Did you get the Holy Week text like I did? 3 p.m. It is finished. No more Jesus on the cross this evening. He was there for 3 hours this afternoon. He's down at last from the cross, his body peaceful and dark in the tomb. And we know how this story is going to go. So now, all we get to do in this quiet time as his body is laid in the tomb, all we get to do is give thanks. My old mentor, Fred Danker, of blessed memory, used to say, Jesus did the work. We just get to do church. In response, Jesus did the work. We just get to do church. All we get to do this evening is give thanks in the garden. Did you catch that? Verse 41, here in the 19th chapter of John. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden a new tomb. This is unique to John. There was a garden. Here's what I'd call tonight. Tonight's a Passover garden party. It's not a funeral reception after death. Have I said that already? It's not a funeral reception. We're not sitting around crying and telling stories about how great Jesus once was. This is very different. We know how this is going to turn out. We've already got the lilies ready out there in the narthex, waiting. We know Jesus is going to rise from the dead. Tonight, we just get to linger peacefully and overwhelmed with thanksgiving around the empty cross, the Passover cross. Death has passed over us because of Jesus. That calls for a party in the garden. You know, garden parties never seem that ruckus to me. They're kind of muted. I think that's fitting for tonight. I mean, they can get out of control, but they're always kind of, you know, muted. Not very wild. It's fitting. Just a time to give thanks among the beauty of creation and be together. Welcome to the Passover garden party, friends. I want to expand on each word there. Passover garden party. It all started in the garden. Remember, way back in Genesis, that's where Christians understand the fall of humanity to have taken place. John, the gospel writer, is connecting us to the beginning, see? What better location to redeem all humanity on a cross than back in a garden? The place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. Lush green trees and plants and flowers everywhere. Just look outside here in beautiful Northern Virginia in the springtime. Life right there where the cross is too. That overlay, you see, of death and life. Now, there was a garden in the place where he was crucified. But it's a party, too. Why a party on Good Friday? Parties are about excess. Maybe a better word is extravagance. Parties are about abundance. The abundance of images in the Gospel of John, the abundance of love. You don't just have one food item at a party, just one drink offering, just one friend there. No, parties are about lots of good things. Let me just name a few here in this text. Jesus is not sad. Jesus is not terrified. Jesus is not feeling abandoned. In John, he would never say, my God, why have you forsaken me? No, Jesus is God. This is what the original plan always was, to redeem and love not just all humanity, but the whole cosmos, remember? God so loved the cosmos, Jesus told Nicodemus. We read that at the very beginning of Lent. That's one thing. Jesus is not sad here. That's one image. Another one, Jesus is connecting people together from his throne, the Holy Cross. Woman, behold your son. And to his beloved disciple, behold your mother. Jesus' death changes relationships. It shifts everything. These were not biologically tied people, but Jesus' words and Jesus' death changes that. Strangers become family. It's another powerful image. Just a third one. The blood and water that flowed from his pierced side. It might seem gory and gross at one level to us, but the symbolism there is so rich. This is the very water of life. Blood then transports and gives oxygen to our bodies, remember, makes it possible for us to breathe, for us to think, for us to act, for us to do what Jesus modeled the night before, wash the feet of our betrayers and our friends both, flowing down from the cross like a waterfall. Gardens and waterfalls go so well together. It's a garden, it's a party. I also said it's a Passover garden party because Jesus is the Passover lamb. This is also unique to John's gospel. In the other gospels, Jesus is celebrating the Passover himself. We remembered that last night too. He's around for the Passover. In fact, he completely redefines the Passover. Remember when he breaks the bread, pours and passes the wine and says, "This is my body and this is my blood." But in John, that doesn't happen. In John, Friday is the day of preparation for the Passover. Friday is the day of preparation for the Passover. It's Passover Eve on Friday. The Paschal Feast or the Passover Feast hasn't happened yet. Friday is the day of preparation, John says. And then always, on the day of preparation, the tradition always is at the light of day, the highest light of day, that is at noon, the priest would always traditionally lead a lamb to the slaughter. What time did Jesus go up on the cross? All in preparation for the Passover feast starting at sunset tonight. You do the work before the sun sets, and then you celebrate the Passover. Here, Jesus is the lamb. Jesus is the saving symbol. Remember the Exodus story? Jesus, the saving symbol, so that death passes over, hence the name, passes over the homes where the slaughtered lamb's blood is painted on the doorposts. Remember that story back in Exodus? You got to read John with your finger holding places in the First Testament, in Exodus and in Genesis. I know it's strange. It's kind of gory stuff for us today, blood of lambs and things, but we need the starkness of the sanctuary. The bareness of things here. We're not ready for all the flowers of the Easter garden quite yet, but the muted garden party's here already. Jesus himself is the lamb that saves us from death. And then there's more. Jesus, the lamb who saves us from death, also frees us from slavery to the oppression of our sin, from being tied up to our brokenness. Remember the Israelites passing safely through the sea, escaping the murderous grip of the Egyptians and their empire ways. That's sin and death for us through Jesus. Because of Jesus, we get safely past the jaws of death, the grip of sin, of our fallenness, of our banishment from that original garden. So many theological images just coming at us today. Is your head spinning? Here's a modern, maybe a more simple image from, of course, baseball. Opening day last week. Our son Micah is home from his tournament in Myrtle Beach this week. Everything is perfectly timed here for our Holy Week illustrations. Baseball. Here you go. Can you guess what image I'm about to use from baseball for this Good Friday in the Gospel of John? The sacrifice bunt. Jesus gives himself up to get us home safe. It's like we're all on third base by the grace of God, and Jesus squeeze bunts us in. Jesus brings us to safety this evening, friends in Christ. And ask any ball player, crossing that plate is the best feeling in the world, right? That's why Good Friday is so good. We're safe. We're free. We're alive in Christ. And Jesus, well, he just got called out. He isn't out for good. The tomb's just a dugout. He'll be back. This is love divine. Divine sacrificial love. Baseball's just a tiny image here. The sacrifice bunt is just a tiny image to help us start to get it. The fountain by the cross, we put a fountain by the cross this year, flowing. The flowers amid the dead palms, all these are just tiny images to help us just start to get it. The overlay of life over death. Jesus is love divine gushing out for you and for me and for this whole world this night. Jesus loves us. Yeah, of course. I mean, what's not to love? Look at us. But Jesus loves everyone, everyone, all those who we fail to love. And having encountered this love divine, all we can do, friends, is give thanks and turn outward and share it. First, we share our prayers for everyone in the world this night. That's the first movement. That's not the only movement, but that's the first movement. We have this longer prayer tonight, this really long prayer, always on Good Friday, called the Bidding Prayer. Because of God's love being so overwhelming, we can't help but turn outward now and pray for every single person and thing in the whole cosmos. That's just the start of our love for them. We're not stopping with thoughts and prayers. But Jesus washes the disciples' feet of his betrayers, and he tells us to go and do likewise. It starts with some prayers, and then we go and we live in that way and follow after those prayers that we make tonight. We pray also for our enemies, and then we wash their feet. We don't just pray for them. We wash their feet also. That's the kind of divine love we follow and try to model our lives after. So we pray for everyone because of God's love so overwhelming. And finally, because of God's love so overwhelming, we can't help but come bask in the glory of the rough-hewn, scratched, bruised, and battered old cross this evening. We just linger and sing gently and pray, maybe rock side to side and hum. We sit together and we give thanks. This is a good Friday. This is a great Friday. Jesus just bunted us home safe. Let the party continue. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.